you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue our message titled, The Blood Still Speaks.
Sitting there all arrogant with a look on your face, you be looking at the prosecuting attorney over there, and he got all that stuff, and he looking like, I got you now, I got you now. You be looking at him like, dude, what time is lunch? You've seen those movies where the guys paid them off. You see that look on their face? Anybody seen a movie like that? Those guys know it's taken care of. Even the criminal is looking cocky. The other people are getting all upset because they know he's about to get off. He knows he's about to get off because it's fixed. All you got to do is know the judge and accept his son, and it's fixed in your favor. Doesn't matter what you've done. You're getting off. Do you deserve to fry? Yes, you do. Are you going to fry? Not long as you stay with that judge and that attorney. And that's the only courtroom there is. So it's really up to you about whether you let Jesus Christ, whether you let that blood speak for you, or whether you're going to do it yourself. No, it's my righteousness. No, it's my holiness. I'm a good person. Did you obey God? Did you do what he... No, I didn't give my life to him, but I'm a good person. Yeah, bring that to the court. Bring your good works to the court, and your good works have to stand up against that stack of your bad works. And even if they stand up against that, you got to stand up against Adam's sin. And you can't get away from that no matter how good you act. They tried it throughout the whole Old Testament. It couldn't happen. So some man, Jesus Christ, had to be born a virgin and had to die, because whatever you bring, it says in the Old Testament, the man's righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. In the King James and the literal Hebrew, it says man's righteousness is as rags, menstrual rags. Now, literally, that's what, and I say that because that's the way God said it. Amen. And God said it because he wants you to know what he thinks of you coming to court with your righteousness. I got this, Your Honor. You just judge the case, okay? You just judge the case. I got my case. I can prove that I'm okay. That stack of evidence against you, you cannot win against it. You can't be good enough, nice enough, kind enough. You need Jesus. Amen. You must have Jesus to go to heaven. Otherwise, you're going down because it's stacked against you. And if you force God the Father, the righteous judge, to judge a righteous judgment, you will go to hell, and you deserve to be there.
That's right. That's right.
There's no hope for man apart from Jesus Christ. There's no hope. But in him, there's no problem, man. It's airy-airy. It's no problem. It's all good. You just sit there and you go through life with a smile on your face, knowing no matter what gets thrown at you, in the end, I win. There's a look you should have on your face because you're on trial now. And some of you still do stuff. Sometimes we miss it. But you know what? Run back under that thing that talks to you, that blood. Run back under that blood, because you know your salvation is under that blood. I got to remember that. I can't forget that. I can't forget that my righteousness is not in myself. I should live righteously, because a person who's righteous by faith will be righteous in the natural as well, but you may miss it till you mature and you come back in 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. We have a righteous judge. We have an advocate before the Father that we run what? We run into Jesus' blood. If I confess my sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me all wrong righteous. I'm running back to the blood in that very act. Because I'm not going to get caught outside that blood, because outside that blood, I got to face that stack of documents. And I've got to face that accuser. Now, understand, the accuser is right. He's correct. He's not lying on you. He's got enough against you. He doesn't even have to lie. He knows he can't deceive the Father, so there's no need to come in with deception. He's coming with bona fide, factual material of what you did. You better run under that blood and stay in that blood and realize, apart from the blood, I'm in trouble. But under the blood is all washed away. Your attorney informs you, don't even worry about it. My Father's the judge. Now, the witnesses get called anyway. The trial proceeds, but you know now it's in the bag. You're feeling pretty good. You got a new attitude. But the prosecutor's got to do his thing. And he calls first. I call to the witness, Your Honor. Against brother so-and-so, against sister so-and-so, I call their past to to the stand. And he walks up there and he begins to say what you've done and who you are. The chief witness. And then after that, I call condemnation. And I call guilt. And I call shame, because all these things are against them. He brings forth what he calls indisputable, irrefutable evidence of your guilt on all counts, worthy, Your Honor, of everlasting judgment. And this person deserves to burn with me. They followed me. They listened to me. I was able to deceive them. They're just like me. And we both know where I'm going. And they're supposed to go with me, Your Honor. Your attorney reassures you again that he has two witnesses. Jesus said, I got two. I only got two witnesses for your defense. I don't need no more than that. I got two on the table covered with this white linen. I have two things to speak better than anything he got on his desk over there. So I got you covered. Just relax. This is going to be all right. Your attorney before the bench says, Your Honor, I have witnesses who will make the testimony of my client's past totally obsolete, so much that their words will be stricken from the record. I call the cup.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
And that cold sweat breaks out and your stomach begins to knot up because you're sitting there in the courtroom and it's going on. It's life or death. You see the prosecutor with the volumes of documents sitting on his desk, taking and planning strategy with several witnesses in the courtroom. He's got other folks he brought in to testify against you. Now, an attorney you've chosen, though, that's the best attorney there is. He's never lost a case. Your attorney before the bench says, Your Honor, I have witnesses who will make the testimony of my client's past totally obsolete, so much that their words will be stricken from the record. I call the cup. Open your Bibles to Matthew 20, 28, or let's put it up on the board. I call the cup to the witness stand in favor of the defense. Matthew 20, 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, I gave my life as a ransom for this person.
Amen. Amen.
Daddy. Sure, son, that's good enough for me. Okay, I call again a witness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature, a new creation. I call the fact that, in fact, Your Honor, this person here is not the person he's talking about. That person he's talking about is in the past with that past and this person. So I call a mistrial because this is not the right person. This person is new. This person is different. That's not them. That's all the witnesses I need. The judge agrees with the testimony of the past. Yeah, because the prosecutor's complaining, but they did it. But it's them. And the judge said, yeah, I understand all that. I saw that. I agree that all that exists. That's real. Yes, they did do that. But sit down. The prosecution concedes the penalty. I, Jesus. Let's just say that the devil comes back and he says, look, you know, you got to get him, though. He's trying to appeal to fairness. He's trying to now be just. But you know, I concede this penalty, you know. Okay, so Jesus did that. It's been taken away. But you know what? I still got him on this. I got him on this. So, Your Honor, I've got him on this. He argues against your freedom from sickness and disease. So once Your Honor convinces him and he rules and tells him to sit down and shut up, he said, well, okay, well, I concede the fact that, okay, they're new and all this, but still, they ought to be sick in the earth. Sin brings in the disease. They ought to be sick in the earth. Before Adam sinned, there was no sickness. There was none to be had. Everything was right. Everything was holy. Then sickness started coming in, and other things started coming in, and other things began to happen in people's body because of sin. He said, hey, they ought to at least be sick. So if he's going to sit over there, he ought to be sick. He ought to have problems. He ought to be poor. He ought to lack. Yeah, that's what Satan is trying to do. If he can't stop you from being saved, he'll try to make sure you're saved and sick, saved and poor, saved and distraught, saved and upset. Saved, but none of the heaven to go to heaven in. So he argues the case for that. You got to get something. Maybe we can't get them on the death penalty thing, but we got to get them on something because after all, they were wrong. Those things did really happen. The prosecution concedes the penalty is taken care of, but argues against the freedom from sickness and disease. But then your attorney, Jesus, says, Your Honor, I call the witness again, the bread, my body, which was broken for them. And I called the witness Matthew 8:17, which says he himself referring to me. You can put it Matthew 8:17. He himself referring Jesus to himself. I bore their sickness on the tree. Just like Isaiah said, the infirmities and the cost of their sickness was upon me. So again, Jesus is stepping up for you. Satan said, okay, well, whatever, but they ought to be sick. He said, no, Your Honor, they shouldn't be sick either. They don't have to be sick. They eat the way they're supposed to eat and eat what I said food was and not eat poison and keep their minds and their hearts right. They don't have to be sick because I paid the price. Amen. He says, I call again 1 Peter 2:24, which tells us that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Ye were, you are. They say in the Old Testament are, and then they say were. You are, even before it happened, spoken prophetically by Isaiah in Isaiah 53 that said Jesus bore our sicknesses on the tree and by his stripes we are healed. Then the New Testament, because God considers it done, now that Jesus bore it, they jump on the other side of Jesus bearing. It was prophetic that it was coming and you can receive it by faith. Now it's afterwards and they look back and say by Jesus' stripes you were healed. It may shock some of you, but God already sees you healed even if you're sitting here sick. And what I mean by that is he says, I've done all I'm going to do about it. I shed my blood. My body was broken. Now you just got to live right and not be a sinner. And live right, it goes together. Goes together. Blood and the body. You want to be healed? You got to live right. You got to do right. Got to be righteous and holy. And then you got to receive the fact that Jesus paid the price. Amen. Oh, well, healing went out with days of apostles. Healing is not for today. It's funny. That's not what Jesus said. How much do you want to be on trial? How much do you want Satan to be able to hold against you? God says, I've taken it all away. I've redeemed you from poverty, from sickness, and spiritual death. You've been redeemed from the curse of law. And we study the Old Testament and see that the curse of law is trifold. It's poverty, it's sickness, and spiritual death. If Jesus has truly redeemed you, and it says in John that he came that you might have life and that you might have abundantly. Abundant life includes health. Abundant life includes financial blessing.
Today's message has been titled, The Blood Still Speaks.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry, prayerfully and